You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams from Eagles Wire of USA Today. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. It has been an eventful week for the Philadelphia Eagles. AJ Brown spoke to the media about his tweets and his social media antics. N'Kobe Dean is back, not playing this week, but he is back. He has returned to practice. And also on the show today, we will take a look at the Eagles versus Broncos matchup. Should be a fun one. The Broncos are, despite the 2-2 record, they're a pretty good team. I'm excited to watch that matchup, especially the receivers against the corners in this one. If you're new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the Philly Pod, bring the podcast to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans. We all knew it. I spoke about it on the last show. We knew that it was going to be a weak headline by AJ Brown and the stuff that he posted after the game. And he addressed it on Wednesday, and like I said on the show, I didn't think there was any malice behind the post. I don't think AJ Brown wants out of Philadelphia, and he kind of confirmed that with his words on Wednesday. So for those of you, it is now Friday, so for those of you who have not seen the quote or have not seen the video or the anything from the media, I will relate to you what he said here briefly. For basically a paraphrasing, but for better or worse, he said, "I let my frustrations boil over. I didn't speak to the media. I had a chance to correct my frustrations, and I continued to let it boil over, and that's on me. I take full accountability on that. My message on Twitter wasn't directed at anyone in the building, and of course, not my quarterback, my GM, nobody. I take full accountability." And then he was asked by another reporter, I believe Zangaro asked him, are you happy in Philadelphia? Are you still happy to be with the Eagles? And he said, "Of course, this is my home. This is my home. Unfortunately, I did it to myself. I won't even say unfortunately, I did it to myself. We just want to be great. What you see is frustration." So despite all the trade machines, you know, the Patriots mock, the Patriots photoshops you see of A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown says, honestly, amongst all of that, everything that he said, I think that line about wanting to still be with the Eagles, that he loves it here, I think that was the most genuine line. Among anything else, everything else sounded like kind of like, you know, PR, you know, the PR team, like, yo, go, you gotta go and, you know, calm this down. But he genuinely looked like he still wants to be in Philadelphia. And this goes along with my premise. I was having a discussion with a friend about this yesterday, how I know that the old adage of wide receivers, you know, because of T.O. and all that stuff, is the diva stigma with receivers, and they want numbers and they want stats. And I've mentioned before how these guys have incentives they want to hit in their contracts and these kind of things. And A.J. Brown has personal goals that he wants to hit. There's no doubt about that. But beyond all of that, A.J. Brown just knows that the Eagles' best chance to win the game is when he has the ball. And more so than stats, I don't think he's like, it's not like he, you know, had a 100-yard game and he wanted, you know, the ball on the final drive and he didn't get it, but he had his stats and he's throwing fits, and that'd be a little different. But it's the fact that he's not hardly getting the ball at all, and the offense is having a hard time getting him open, and they're basically telling him to win your one-on-one matchup, we'll throw it to you, instead of the ways that the offense could get him open. When you watch I made this analogy on the last show, and we saw it again last night with Puka Nacua and how the Rams get him open. And you don't really see other teams, you know, struggle to get the ball to the receivers. You know, you don't see Jamar Chase. I mean, maybe now with Jake Browning there, but you don't see Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Nico Collins. You don't see those guys like struggling to find ways to get the ball. The fact that AJ has to like go to this extent to get the ball and to go to this extent to make it aware, like, we need to make AJ Brown a focal point of the offense is kind of crazy. And I'm not saying the Eagles are oblivious to that fact. It's not like they're turning a blind eye to it. They're well aware of it. I just don't know what the disconnect is on how we can scheme AJ Brown open. Like it's as simple as what we saw in the Rams game. Like, it can be a slant, it can be a drag route, it can be a sluggo. Like, it can be like, it's not rocket science. I don't want to go on that whole tangent again, but AJ Brown just knows, like, give me, I want the team to win, and if I get the ball, then the team has the best chance to win. I don't think it's about me, I want the ball, I want this, and that. And A.J. Brown even said himself, like, I'm the quietest one during the game. I'm never on the sideline demanding the ball. Maybe he should be. maybe he should be over there, like, bro, like, I'm over, like, get me the ball and I'll get us this win. Maybe that needs to be him. But A.J. reassured that, you know, he wants to remain in Philadelphia and that he's just frustrated, as we are as fans, we're frustrated. Like, you can't have this much talent on offense and struggle this bad. Like, I think a lot of the Eagles' issues reside in the fact that they can't run the ball. Actually, I think it's even more so than that. Well, it goes hand in hand, is the offensive line. The offensive line is a shell of himself at the moment. You have, Dickerson dealing with injuries. You have Lane going in and out. You have Tyler Steen, who is a downgrade from Mekhi Becton. Ilada's been pretty good. And it's just the offensive line is struggling right now to kind of just get any type of movement. And we see that in the run game, which is why the passing game hasn't opened up. You know, they kind of play off each other. Last season, they were able to win these games even when they were struggling throwing the football because the run game was so dominant. They don't have any explosive runs yet this year. No 20-plus yard runs from Saquon Barkley. And that's not because Saquon Barkley has lost a step. That's because there's no holes for Saquon to hit because the offensive line is not playing up to par, mainly because of health and who knows what else. But I think that because that run game is so ineffective, it puts the Eagles in tough situations on passing downs. And then this is why you're going three and out, you know, 5-6 times in a row. And this is why teams are getting back in games when you build a lead. And I think it would benefit the Eagles. I'm not saying they should, like, you know, not play Saquon Barkley, but I think it would benefit the Eagles to mix in their other backs just a little bit more, because they could probably look at different fronts because teams are so primarily focused on stopping Saquon Barkley. For good reason, they're loading the box and all that. If you mix in Shipley and Dylan or Tank or whoever, it doesn't really matter at this point, it might make the defensive quarter switch up the look, and then maybe you'll be in advantageous passing matchups. But that's just a thought. I'm not saying, like, oh, only give Saquon 12 carries a game. Like, obviously, that's not the case. But I think that when you're looking at the same look over and over again, I think it's tough. And the defense is figuring out what the Eagles are doing. So it all stems really from the offensive line, and they're not able to run. And when you can't run, then it's even harder to pass, and they play off each other. So this is the difficult part that the Eagles have to figure out. But despite all that, they're winning games. You know, they're 4-0. They've beaten the Cowboys. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the who did they play third? They've beaten the Cowboys. They've beaten the Chiefs. They beat the Rams, and then they beat the Bucks. And those are four good teams. Those are four, like, playoff teams. You know, I consider Dallas to be a playoff team. So I think, well, we'll see. We'll see. But those are four solid teams, and they beat all four of them, even not playing up to par. And hopefully this is the spark that kind of gets it going. And I mentioned before that A.J. Brown is, you know, it's not like he just moved to Philadelphia. It's not like he's not aware of how the media is going to do it. This was a calculated measure by A.J. Brown to send a message. Now, McClain reported earlier in the week that that the tweet was directed at somebody within the organization. It's probably the Sirianni or Petullo or Jalen, who knows. But and then AJ came and said, like, nah, I kind of tweeted it. So my read on the entire thing is that I think AJ at the end of the day just wanted to say something, but he didn't want to do it in, like, a disrespectful manner. Like, he didn't want to make a scene on the sidelines. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to mouth off to the media. He was kind of just like, I'm going to tweet, because that is the safest way to go about this. And that is the easiest way to go about this without, you know, videos going around of me acting crazy or saying something that a clip is going to go around. I think I'll just tweet this. And he left it up for a while. He finally took it down, but he left it up for a little bit. So this was definitely a calculated message to somebody. So we will see how it all shakes out. Jalen, they asked Jalen about it as well. Like, did you speak to AJ? He said, you know, he wants to win and we're moving on. And a typical Hurts answer. So not much from Jalen in that regard. Sirianni says he talks to AJ every day. AJ echoed that same sentiment on Wednesday. He said, you know, Sirianni FaceTimed me, you know, the other day just to check up on me and this and that. Petullo said that me and AJ have a great relationship, and so we'll see. We'll see how it looks against Denver. But, you know, AJ certainly, at least he's doing it now. Last week when he made that comment about the passing offense after the Panthers game, same situation, winning games. But he was frustrated then too. And I think that this is the common theme. This is not the first time AJ has been frustrated within the offense due to the lack of passing or to lack of a prolific passing offense, I should say. And despite the coordinator, it remains a constant theme. And it makes you boil down. It makes you think, like, this is essentially Sirianni's offense. regardless of who's calling the plays and regardless of who has the label of offensive coordinator, this is Sirianni's offense. But now that he's not calling plays, Nick Sirianni doesn't fall on the sword too much these days. But I think we need to start asking ourselves, like, is Sirianni's offense not playing to AJ's strengths? So that's another thought. We all are like, Petullo, and for good reason, because he's the play caller. But I think we also need to think, like, yo, Sirianni's offense, 4 years now, doesn't take advantage of his receivers. So it's an interesting thought. Devontae's obviously not going to say anything. You know, he's just here. But interesting stuff from AJ. But the most important part here is that he does one out. You can't trade him anyway. It's not financially feasible. I've said that before. But he doesn't want to leave. He just wants to win games, and he knows that the best chance to win is with him getting the football. And I agree. Look at all the games we've won when AJ has over 100 yards. So that is certainly a fact. But that was something on Wednesday. Certainly, interesting stuff in that regard pertaining to AJ Brown. N'Kobe Dean was activated this week, activated his 21-day window coming off of his injury last season. 8.5 months he has not played. He will not play this week, doesn't seem, but maybe he will be back next week. And this is where all the conversations start now. How are the Eagles going to use N'Kobe Dean? Because you have Jahad Campbell, who's playing great. You don't want to take him off the field. You have Zach Bond, obviously all-pro linebacker. Can't take him off the field. How does N'Kobe mix into this? How is he like a backup? Is he going to rotate in like with Jahad? How is this all going to work out? Is he going to play alongside Zach Bond? And is Jahad going to play off the edge in certain situations? Vic Fangio doesn't sound overly excited about that prospect. It doesn't sound like he's any time he's been asked by the media about potentially playing Jahad Campbell off the edge, he has debunked it immediately. He's like, he has to work on his moves. He doesn't really have the arsenal. He can't really do that right now. But I think if you want to utilize N'Kobe the way I think the defense does, that might be the best scenario is to play Jahad off the edge on the downs that N'Kobe is on the field. And if you want to rotate them or do whatever, that's fine. But it's interesting because Fangio doesn't seem to want to throw Jahad on the edge right now. But I'm interested to see how it all shakes out for N'Kobe Dean. He's too talented not to play. Over 100 tackles last year. You got to have him on the field in some facet just for the energy alone, because he was a good piece of that defense last year. He's the heart of that defense, and I'm interested to see how Fangio wants to use him. Speaking of Fangio, that man, even for his standards, was pretty short with the media this week, but they did ask him some things about Kelee Ringo and his performance against Tampa Bay. The media had asked him, hey, even when Adoree is healthy, can Kelee Ringo be the starter? And Vic Fangio said it's possible. And he said he likes what he showed in coverage. Obviously, he had a bunch of missed tackles, but he seems to be encouraged with what Kelee Ringo showed him. And from my perspective, I think it would be better to keep Kelee Ringo in there because he has the chance to develop and be better by the time January rolls around. I don't think that is the case for Adoree Jackson. I don't think that you have anything to benefit by keeping Adoree in there unless Kelee Ringo is making like egregious mistakes. And I didn't see, obviously, the missed tackles are a problem, but he didn't give up anything in coverage. And I think that until he becomes a liability, you should play Kelee Ringo because he has the higher trajectory. And I think his ceiling is higher. Even this season, I think by the time the playoffs roll around, he could be playing at an above average level. And I think that would be beneficial. And I'm not saying Adoree has played bad up to this point. You know, after a rough week one, he hasn't been a liability in coverage either. So I just think that it would be better for Kelee to develop during this time. And Kelee gives you kind of more splash plays than Adoree Jackson has provided to this point. And it was rough. It's been a rough few months for Kelee Ringo coming into the summer, projected to be the starter. And then you lose the job to Adoree Jackson because you're not impressing in training camp. And then you get embarrassed by Ja'Marr Chase in the preseason. And then you have to hear about all that. And then you get relegated. But I think Fangio told him even prior to the season, like, hey, just because you're not the starter now, stay ready and your opportunity will come. And look, Bennett on IR, Adoree Jackson was hurt, and Kelee Ringo came in and gave an encouraging performance. Now he has a chance to capture that cornerback two job across from Quinyon Mitchell. So this is why you got to stay ready, and yet now you have a chance to win that job. And if that is the case, that would prevent the Eagles from having to look for a corner with the trade deadline coming up. There's been some talks about Reek Woolen, and you know Denzel Ward has been a conversation for a little bit now, and the Eagles need to make a move. But if Kelee can at least be steady over there, that would prevent the Eagles from having to give up more assets to do that. And then Ringo, Cooper, and Quinyon would be a nice little trio in that regard. So that is good stuff for Kelee Ringo. Excited to see him develop if Vic Fangio decides to continue to keep him in the lineup. All right. So looking ahead to the Denver game, this is the first time the Broncos have come to Philadelphia since that 51-23, I think it was, way back when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, when Wentz was there, Jay Ajayi run, Alshon was here. Like, it was that whole game. The Broncos' number one defense, what are the Eagles going to do? And they dropped 51 on them. So the Broncos haven't been back to Philadelphia since then, but they are now obviously a much, much different team. They have franchise quarterback Bo Nix, who is lighting it up, and they have a very, very good defense. The Broncos lead the NFL in sacks. They have 15. They also lead the NFL in QB hits with 41. Their pressure rate, 47.1% through week four. Those all lead the league. Now, obviously, you have to look into who the Broncos have played to this point, because obviously that matters. They just got done tearing up a Bengals team who are terrible. So the matchups, the schedule certainly factors into it, but you can't take away from the impressive things that the Broncos are doing. Like I said to start the show, they are one of the better 2-2 teams in the league. They started 1-0, I believe. They started 1-0. And then they dropped two. They were 1-0 after beating the Titans. And they dropped two against the Colts and then a tough Chargers team, and then went ahead and beat the Bengals. Bo Nix is a big part of that reason. Vic Fangio made a comment and said, hey, they've been looking for a quarterback for a long time, and now they finally got one. Obviously, Vic Fangio was the head coach there for a little bit. So he was asked quite a bit about Denver and his connections there and things of that nature. And Vic Fangio was like, at least they finally have a quarterback this time around. So far this season, Bo Nix, 65.7% completion, 87.9 passer rating, 861 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Not eye-jumping numbers, but he is commanding that offense and doing a good job of doing it. They have J.K. Dobbins over there, who continues to be electric. You know, he had a good year coming off injury, and now he's doing the same with the Broncos. They have Courtland Sutton, who can't stop scoring, and they have some Marvin Mims and some good players over there. So the Broncos are definitely nothing to scoff at coming in. And I understand that we're like, oh, we just beat these four teams. The Broncos, the 2-2 Broncos, shouldn't be an issue. But the big highlight of all this is Pat Surtain against AJ Brown. How is AJ Brown going to perform against Pat Surtain coming off this week of, you know, media headlines? How is that going to look? We all remember what Devontae did to Patrick Surtain when they went to Denver in 2021, I think. We all remember when he caught that pass over Pat Surtain. But Surtain, hey, reigning defensive player of the year, definitely going to be lined up on A.J. Brown, because Pat Surtain, since the beginning of last season, Patrick Surtain leads the NFL in matchups against opposing WR1s. Second on that list is Quinyon. Hey, people are saying Quinyon don't follow people, but he is Quinyon needs help, and Quinyon is doing a good job of shadowing top receivers. But yeah, Pat Surtain will undoubtedly be on A.J. We'll see. If this is going to be the week where the Eagles try to rectify this, it's going to be tough sledding against that defense led by Patrick Surtain. And then on the other side, you have Quinyon Mitchell versus Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton, like I mentioned, he is having a great season. 18 catches, 266 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Sutton is fourth in the NFL with 21 touchdown catches since the start of the 2023 season. Only Amon-Ra, Ja'Marr Chase, and Mike Evans have more. So Sutton, not a player to sleep against either. I mentioned J.K. Dobbins, not a big pass catcher, but boy, he can run. 323 rushing yards this year, 3 touchdowns. He's fourth in the NFL in rushing, and he's averaging 1.7 rushing yards over expected per attempt. So that's including 3.8 yards after contact per attempt. So he's not only just like hitting holes, he is hard to bring down as well. So we'll see how all of that goes for the Denver Broncos and the Philadelphia Eagles. But I'm excited. Should be a good matchup. Should be a fun one. The AFC games are always fun for the Eagles. You get a chance to look at different teams. You know, we focus so much on the division and the NFC. It's always fun to get a good look at the AFC teams. But we'll see. Hopefully the Eagles can go 5-0. Good chance they can go 8-0. Not to look too ahead. I said it on the last show. With the Giants twice coming up, the Vikings, who are playing Carson again this week. And then we have to try and take care of the Broncos this week. What will AJ stat line be? What will it be? My guess will be 6 for 82 and a touchdown will be my guess. I think they try to get him involved a little bit easier. So let's hope they're in the lab right now scheming up something. Hey, get some movement out there, offense. Figure it out. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast. Be sure to follow me on social media at the Philly Pod and follow all my written work at Eagles Wire on USA Today. Let's get a win on Sunday. Let's go into the next week 5-0, and then we'll look ahead to the Giants. Appreciate you guys for checking this episode out. Enjoy your weekend. Peace out, y'all, from the Philly Pod.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.